And we're going to sing number 8 in the book, which is Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
Right, if you want to take a seat, that'd be great. I can welcome our brother Bile to come up and minister to us. I'll just pray for you as you start. Lord God, we thank you so much for our brother Bile, Lord. Thank you so much for his ministry amongst us this week. I know I've certainly been challenged by it, Lord. And I pray that you just give him the words to speak now, Lord, that you'd speak really clearly through him into our hearts, that your spirit would take his words and make them real in our hearts, that we'd be challenged and changed by what he says to us now. We thank you for him. Amen.
Thank you very much. Good morning this morning. It's been a great wet week. We're asking God to send, you know, there are two pictures of the Holy Ghost that we've been dealing with. It's either rain or fire. Isn't it? We wanted a dry fire, but God is giving us a wet fire here. And we trust that this day being the last day, he will not let us go without something that is sufficient to confront our generation. And that's what we are asking him for. Don't let me go without something that is sufficient to confront this generation unto which you have called me. There are a few things that I want to lay before you this morning as we deal with the question of being filled of the Spirit of God and being sent forth to go and blaze the fire. Now, do you remember the story of Elijah? After he had gone to the Mount Carmel, he had brought the fire down on the altar. And he had prayed and it had rained. Suddenly something happened to him, which is quite ironical, because he thought that after he had labored, he had prayed, he had brought rain, he had prayed and fire came down. You don't expect that Elijah would suddenly find himself running away under the threat of Jezebel. But that is the beginning of the kind of cry I want to share with you this morning. The fact that the energy of the flesh isn't sufficient to fight the battles that lies ahead of us. The energy, the zeal of man, no matter how hot and intense it is, will not be sufficient to carry us into all that God wants us to do in our own generation. And I must begin by saying to you that this is your own generation. This is your own generation. I must tell you that each time we are talking about revival, and we are talking about the people that God used in revival, many, many times we often forget to check the age range at which God arrested them. Many, many times. We only speak about great work they did. And the way we present them as if they were people who had gone for years of ministry before they came into what they came into. But just come to think about the men that God used in various revivals. Come to think about Evan Roberts. When he came under the power of the Holy Spirit at the age of 15, and his intense desire in his heart to see revival in Wales. And at the age of 19, he was just 19 years, when he sought that initial meeting from his local church in Loko. And he said, can I just meet with some young people? And 16 young men waited behind, and there was one young girl among them. And according to the report, three young ladies were always singing along wherever this brother went to preach. And they were between ages of 16 and 18. So when we talk about revival in Wales, it was not revival that were brought by old, experienced preachers. They were revivals that were brought by men of this, our own age. And so I feel that, you see, it's very significant that the Holy Spirit will want to speak to you because this is your own time. This is your own day. No matter what we are saying, if there's a future for this country, that future lies here. That future lies in this tent. If there were people here that the Holy Spirit would kindle with a fire, then we know that they don't only have the heart to run, they have the feet with which to run. They have the voice with which to speak. They have the physical carriage with which to carry whatever God is about to bring. And that's why it is critical. Even if no one else is interested in catching the fire at this age, I think you have to be. I think you have to be. I think it is dangerous not to catch something serious at the prime of your years. I think it's dangerous. I think it's dangerous that it is only when you become 50, 60 that you start saying, oh Lord, use me. Oh Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Yes, God can use anybody. But I'm telling you, there's a lifespan for your body. And once that lifespan finishes, no matter the fire, there are people that have great fire in their bones, but their body is announcing to them, you are too old. You are too old. You can't go on again. You've got to catch your fire now. Hallelujah. Now, so I'm reading a few things just like that because I want to lay a foundation for our cry this afternoon. The theme of my message has been a cry. Fill us up and send us out. So it's not about even preaching about how to be filled. It's not about preaching about all the processes of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I just saw that there is a haste in that title. It said, fill us up and send us out. And I thought that that is very, very peculiar to this particular class that God is bringing us into. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 19, when Ahab told his Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now, you see, why am I concerned about this? My own concern about this is a very critical concern, and maybe that's how my spirit is operating today. Now, what was my concern? You see, a lot of times, please listen to me carefully this morning. A lot of times, there's a lot of effort, a lot of preparation, a lot of prayer leading to Mount Carmel, where fire comes. But you see, God is much more interested not just on Mount Carmel experience. God was much more interested in what will be the aftermath of that Carmel experience. Now, you see, Mount Carmel was wonderful because our brother, you know, prayed. The Bible says he prayed earnestly that it might not rain for 3 years, and it did not rain. And he prayed again that it might rain, and it rained. And he prayed and fire came down. and he slaughtered the prophets of Baal. All those things are climax of stories. But you see, as I'm meeting this man in chapter 19, I found that God was saying something else. I found that the beginning of a matter is not as important with God as the end of it. And that's what is making me to respond to this cry this morning. You see, when that has happened, people lifted up their hands, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And then he prayed and it rained. But can I tell you that what God was looking for in Elijah was not just to call fire on the mountain, because that was not the issue. It was not just to pray for the rain to come back, because actually he prayed that the rain should stop as a means of getting the attention of the people back to God. Is that all right now? It was not the event of let's pray for fire to fall down. That's not what we are here about. We are here about what is going to move from this place and will ravage our nation with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we are looking for. This conference will not mean anything if it ends here. I hope you know. Oh yes, we had a good time. Oh, the Spirit moved. Oh, that means nothing. The only thing that will be critical is what happens as we move out from here. What is going to be the result of this week after we have come out here? The success of this conference is not this conference. I don't know whether you are getting me. The success of our gathering for this 1 week is not that, oh, we had a good time. Oh, yes, everything went well. Oh, our speakers came. Yes, everything, we did well. We thank God. You know, we set the tent. We did all of that. All of those great testimonies. But that's not the reason why we came. The reason why we came is that something must happen after we have left here. So, but unfortunately, after all those years of prayer that Elijah had, just at the brink of what I call revival, the man of God was exhausted. And we don't want that. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he arose, he went for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to say to you, the journey that we are about stepping into is too great. And people that are going to be carriers of the fire revival, they need to arise and eat. And the kind of eating that the angel came and confronted Brother Elijah with, I'm surprised about it. The angel came and tapped him and said, arise and eat. The man was saying, now I'm tired. Now I want to die. Now I can't do more than my fathers. And God is saying, no, we are not talking about the repetition of your fathers. How many of you know that Evan Robert is dead. Let me see your hand up. Is Evan Robert dead? Eh? Is John Wesley dead? You're not talking to me. Is John Wesley dead? Is Charles Spurgeon dead? The Bible said, Moses, my servant, is dead. We can't have John Wesley here again. We can celebrate them, but we can't have them again. We can celebrate Evan Robert, we can't have him here again. He's gone. We are not going to have Thompson, Duncan Campbell. They are gone. They served their generation and they have slept. Are you hearing me? This is your own generation. Tell somebody by your side, say, this is your generation. Tell somebody. Listen, it's very important. If you don't know that all of those brothers, they serve their own generation and they are gone, we won't have them again. We thank God for them, but they are dead. And you may be thinking in your mind, but I'm not like that. I don't have the grace they had. It's all right. It's all right. The Bible says a living dog is better than a dead lion. That's true. That's true. That's true. These are great lions, but they are dead. They are the ones that when they stood up, they preached, you know, they shook the whole place. And we say, oh, communities were affected. Praise the Lord for dead lions. But they are dead. And even if you see yourself as an ordinary dog today, a living dog, the Bible says, is better than a dead lion. So the question we are saying is this, Lord, if all your lions were dead, and those of us that are here, we are just like ordinary dogs, what will you do with dogs in this generation? You hearing me? What will God do with living dogs in this generation with all the challenges? What will God do with people like ourselves? We seem not to have the wherewithal to confront our generation. And yet God doesn't have any other person in this generation apart from you and myself. When they are talking about, where are the people, where are the people? You are the people. And what I'm hearing God saying is this. I'm going to work with what I have. God is willing to do what? To work with what he has. We are his people today. I'm not expecting any other people to arrive from another planet to come and work in UK. I'm not expecting. You are the ones. Oh, they don't know enough Bible. That's what we have. Oh, our young people, they are not as prayerful as they used to pray in those days. That's okay. Those who used to pray in those days, they are dead. The people we have today is what we have. And I thought we just want to say, God, here we are. What can you do with toothless dogs like ourselves? Lord, what can you do? What will you make out of ordinary, spineless men and women like ourselves? For this is our generation. There's no other person that will arise for this generation apart from us. So Elijah was making a quiet mistake. He was saying, I can't do more than my fathers. And God is saying, sorry, your fathers are dead. We are not talking about what your fathers did or what they did not do. We are talking about the work on hand, the challenge on hand, the move of God on hand. And the Bible said, the angel tapped him and said, rise up and eat. He ate and he lay down again. And just maybe another 20 minutes, I don't know, the angel came and tapped him again and said, Elijah, rise up and eat. Oh, Elijah said, but I'm just eating. He said, no, you need to eat again because the journey is too great for you. You aren't going to die yet. You have just started. Mount Carmel was not your climax. It was just a beginning. Unfortunately, whenever we talk about Elijah, Carmel was the climax. But in God's heart, Mount Carmel was what? But the beginning of what ought to have happened. What happened on Carmel when he would say the Lord is God was just a start. Something greater than Carmel was to have come to his life. But he didn't see that. He didn't see that. Oh, he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he got to the mount, God was coming down again to manifest himself to him. And Elijah, I don't know what happened to this brother. I don't know what happened to him. Elijah, when he heard that God was coming, God wasn't coming in the earthquake, God wasn't coming in the strong wind, God wasn't coming in the fire. All those are the things he knew before. And I would like to say to you, brothers and sisters, while we read histories of revival, and we must read histories to know what God has done before, but we aren't looking for history. What are we looking for? We're looking for currency. If revival is not current, then it's not worth talking about. We're asking for our own current experience. Hallelujah. And we're asking not for a repetition. Oh, fire came the other time. Oh, earthquake. Oh, wind came. Let's ask God, what will be the feature of our own experience? What will be the peculiar feature of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our own generation? And we're saying, God, we are ready for it. And Elijah stood there. He went to the cave and God asked him, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? There's great open door. What are you doing here in the cave? He kept saying, I'm jealous for the Lord. I have tried, I've worked, and I'm the only one left. There are no other people like me. Oh, there are nobody else. I'm the only one, and I can't do more than my father's, and they want to kill me. So take my life now. Ah, Elijah, you're just at the beginning. Now, you know why I'm talking to you. Some people, hey, am I communicating with you? Are you with me? Some people will labor to see the beginning of this revival that we are praying for. And once they see it, they will be tired. They will be ready to die. Of what good would that be? If there will be no people who have life in front of them, who say, yes, I need a fire not to die. I need a fire to run. As I don't know how many years Elijah had been praying only to come to this beginning of an outburst, he was ready to die. No matter what God said to him, Elijah, you don't have to die because the work is great. He said, no, I can't do more than my father's. Towards the end of that chapter, God said to him, thank you, Elijah. You can now go back on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. You will find a young man. Hallelujah. You'll find a young man, Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Behold, he is walking on the field. Cast your mantle on him. He will be the prophet in your stead. So Elijah was on his way now, only to meet this young man, Elisha. And he cast his mantle on him. And I thank God that there will be some Elisha's company. We've spoken so much about Elijah, but my mind has not settled on Elijah at all. My mind has been on the Elisha's company. Those Elisha's company who have life ahead of them, who are not planning to die, Let me ask, how many of you wish to die now? Talk to me, talk to me. No, you want to live. Hallelujah. You are going to the university. Is it to go and die? No. You see, you want to face life. Some of you want to be chemical engineer. Some of you want to be, business tycoons. Some of you are looking forward, to become, somebody in computer engineering. You want to be the next Bill Gates. There's no problem about that. I don't think there's anything wrong God putting ideas in your spirit, because you have life to live. Now, while Elijah was there, I'm the only one. God said, no, don't say that. I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knees. I was wondering, where were those 7,000? And Brother Elijah didn't see them. Can I tell you, they were 7,000 in incubation. 7,000 young people. People like Micaiah. You will not hear about them. They were small oak trees. But while the big oak was standing, the small oak cannot break forth. And God said, I have 7,000 of them, and they are waiting. They've not bowed their knees. Even though you think Baal was so popular in the whole land, no. 7,000, they have maintained purity. One of the things you may think that, you see, all the young people in UK, you will think that all of them are gay, all of them have spoiled themselves, all of them are giving themselves to drink, all of them, they like pornography. No! There are 7,000. They've not bowed their knees. And they are waiting for something. And I perceive some of you are among those 7,000. Am I right? I perceive that there are part of those 7,000 here. Your heart is not at peace. They say, can't I have more of God? Can I see the power of the Holy Spirit? Can't we see something happen in our generation? Lord, what will you do to manifest your glory? The heart of Jesus is among these 7,000. And this afternoon, we just want to pray together. So do you know when time came? And Elijah was about to finally go. And he asked the young man, Elisha. He said, Elisha, God is about to take me away. No, he didn't say that first. Then the Lord is asking me to go from Gilgal to Bethel. Would you like to stay in Gilgal? I see a man who cannot be satisfied with history. I don't know how many of you are willing just to inherit what our fathers have used and is about outdated. Is any of you wanting to inherit your father's old Opel? Your father used to write one Opel. Is it Opel record? And that's the one he's keeping aside, and you are planning to get that and be driving about. Is that what you are looking for? No. Those are what they call antiques. I'm sure you don't want anything antique. You want something fresh. The man said, can you stay in Gilgal? I could see, if it was in Africa, I could see how Elisha must have done his identity. You know the meaning of that? Say, God forbid. I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to stay in Gilgal. Gilgal was good, was a good place. But Gilgal doesn't carry the promise of the future. Gilgal was great for history, but it was not great for the future. Don't leave me there. They go to Bethel, great place where communion, hallelujah, where the ladder. And Jacob's ladder was still there. They must have erected a monument of that ladder. Say, this is Bethel. Would you like to stay in Bethel? Say, no. I don't want Bethel. I like Bethel, but I don't want Bethel. I respect Bethel, but I don't want Bethel. I want to go forward with God. They came to Jericho. And all of you knew the story of Jericho. You knew how Jericho fell. And you could just stay around Jericho and begin to tell the story of how we moved around and how this wall fell here and how that wall fell there. And how the man said, no. You are telling history of how Jericho fell. What will I do with that? I need something for life. So they moved on. They crossed Jordan. When they crossed Jordan, Elijah knew that this young man will not take a no for an answer. He asked him, he said, so what will you want me to do for you? Because I will soon be taken away from you. And I'm listening to Elisha. And that's the company I really want to be myself. Don't want to be in any other company now. You know what Elisha said? I thought Elisha would have said, thank you very much, Uncle Elijah. Thank you for how many years you have been helping me. So you mean you are going? Oh, you are going. Stay with me for a little time. Mm-mm. That's not what he was looking for. He wasn't even looking for Elijah. He was looking beyond Elijah. I'm looking for people here today who are looking beyond all that you have seen presently. Who are looking beyond, because why not? Why not? God is able to do much more than we have ever thought or asked or imagined or what we have seen before. God can do more than that. Can God not do so? So Elijah, what do you want? Elisha said, I don't want your clothes. Don't want your clothes. I don't want your sermon notes. Don't want your sermon notes. If you know how I have really, really praised the Lord for people that God had used in this fellowship over the years, I really praise God for Mr. North. Mr. North was a great man, but he's dead. Tell somebody by your side, say, Mr. North is dead. You won't have him here again. No matter how we speak, Mr. North can't come back here. So when I hear, say, oh, yes, or no, it's not about that. We respect this man. We praise God for what God used them to do in our lives. But they are dead. Dead lions. Dead lions. They are lions, but they are dead. A living dog is better than a dead lion. And the Holy Spirit must have come on the heart of Elisha. He said, I don't want your sermon notes. The reason is because, you see, sermon notes, great. But what makes sermon notes to affect people in those days was not the sermon, was the life behind the sermon. Are you hearing me? Do you know that even if we bring Charles Spurgeon's books here, and somebody who is a very good reader should start reading it, it will not create the same effect. Do you know why? It is not in the sermon that the power laid. It was in the life. Is that all right? The preacher's life is much more important and more effective than his message. What makes a man's message to be effective is something that is at work in his own life. So this brother said, I don't want your notes. I don't want your methodology. Sometimes you think that if you can learn people's methods, you will get their results. No, it's not methods. So Elisha said, I don't want your method. I don't even just want a repetition of who you are. I want the double portion of your spirit. What I'm looking for now is the double portion of your spirit. Hey! Hallelujah. Elisha looked at Elijah and said, excuse me, what you carry is good, but it's not sufficient for me. I need people this morning, because you see, the question is not whether God can give it or not. It's whether you are willing to collect. Some of you, your expectation of the Holy Spirit is so small that you've never asked anything serious. Some of you, you are not yet so desperate. When Les was speaking this morning, I said, prayer is not just the routine of talking. It's a longing. A longing for God. A longing for His presence. A longing for His power. How many of you have a longing that nothing can easily satisfy? How many of you will say to God, I don't just want to shake my head. I need something serious. I don't just want to feel nice. I need fire. I just want to go out of this place having notes. And we thank God. No, I want something that will set me ablaze. And that wherever I go, something will begin to happen immediately. I'm looking at Elisha, who said, I don't want even a repetition of you. I need the double portion of your spirit. Ah, now let me ask you, where will Elijah get double of what he has? You don't understand me. I have 100 pounds. And you are saying, I know you have 100 pounds, Bragbile. But what I need for you to release to me is 200 pounds. Ah, where will I get it? You know, I thank God for Elisha. Elisha was asking what Elijah cannot just put his hand in his pocket and say, okay, take. You just go with that. No. He said, I want the double portion of your spirit to follow me. Elijah said, you have asked what? A hard thing. When we want to pray this afternoon, and this is not a conventional meeting. This is a meeting of those who are hungry. This is a meeting of those who can no longer make do with emptiness. This is a meeting of those who are saying, oh God, this is the last day. Will I go home like this? I will not let you go until something happens to me. And I need more than just rhetoric. I need something more than just to say, Oh God, no, I need something more than that. I need something, Lord, something tangible, something that I can carry as I'm going back home. Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. Please, when we begin to pray, don't pray for a small thing. Don't pray for a little thing. Don't pray for a little feeling. I say, I just want to feel your presence. What does that mean? Don't ask for a small thing. God already said, I will be with you. Whether you feel it or not, I am with you. So that's not a big prayer. Are you getting me? That's not a big prayer. That kind of prayer can bring revival. You don't know John Knox, who knelt down and said, give me Scotland or I die. That's a prayer. That's somebody praying. I'm going to die if you don't give me Scotland. Did God give him Scotland or not? He did. There's nothing you can ask. And God will say, you have asked too much. Brother Elisha said, double portion of your spirit. To Elijah is a hard thing, but to God is a small thing. He said, well, if you see me when I'm taken off, it will be yours. He said, well, if that's all, I will see you. What am I here for again? I left my job for this purpose. And as they were going, suddenly, the one wind came from heaven. The chariot of fire came to carry the man of God. And Elisha said, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof, I have seen you. And he grabbed that man's mantle. I want you to see two things that is happening. I wish I could set a drama here, but it's not easy. What was it? You see, heaven was coming to catch away Elijah, with all that that man represented. But here was a man on earth who said, it's unfair. It's unfair for me to follow this man for 14 years and for him to go and leave me with emptiness. No, it's unfair. He will not go. Heaven is saying, no, but we must take him. He said, but you can't take him. He has not dropped for me what I'm looking for. And you know, it is in the midst of the struggle that the mantle that Elijah had carried for years had to be dropped. And it was torn. And when that the mantle fell back, something happened to Elijah. Now, what I'm praying for to happen, please, don't be polite this afternoon. Are you hearing me? Don't be polite. Don't be English. Be a Christian. You hear me? What do I want you to be? Be a Christian. Don't just be English. Be a Christian who is crying out, who has lost all shame of crying, who is not feeling bad that I'm crying. Cry! If that's what God is going to do to help our lives. The Bible said, and, you know, he grabbed that thing. The Spirit of God settled on his life. He didn't need to tell anybody. The people saw. They said, the Spirit of Elijah has fallen on Elijah. A genuine anointing announces itself. A genuine anointing does not need carnal publicity. It will publicize itself. If the power falls on you now, your parents will know about it. We don't need to talk about it. If the anointing falls on your life now, people in your church will know that something new has happened to this young man. It's no more the same. They will know. And by the grace of God, as he was coming back, Elijah is gone. Because Elijah is not the issue. He was a vessel. The worker who walked in Elijah is here. So as he came back, he met the same River Jordan. And he stood by the bank of the river. He wasn't asking for Elijah now. I hope you read your Bible very well. He wasn't saying, oh God, where is Elijah? Where is Elijah? Oh, I wish he's here to come and help me. No. You know the question? Where is the God of Elijah? The God of Elijah doesn't travel anywhere. The God who walked with John Wesley has never traveled. He's here. The God who moved with Duncan Campbell, he's still here. In fact, he has not reduced his power. The God who moved on the day of Pentecost is here. He hasn't gone anywhere. The God who walked in Indonesia in those days is still here. He has not gone anywhere. That God, I want to tell you, men come and go. God doesn't go anywhere. Elijah is no more here. Mr. North is no more here. Watchman is no more here. All the people that we thought so greatly about, there are no more here. But the God they work with is here. Nothing has changed. Tell somebody, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. He is here. God is here. And that to bless us with his shower from above. Is here. But the question is this. Where are this generation who are saying double portion? Double portion. I don't want anything less. And I don't want to be polite about it. I need a touch from the Savior. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, as he brought the mantle, boom, the water broke. He came back. The men of Jericho, they quickly saw, they said, The spirit of Elijah has fallen on Elisha. So they quickly gathered around him. They said, excuse me, sir, the city, the situation of this city is pleasant as you can see, but the water is bad and the ground is barren. Can you do something? Yesterday when he was traveling, nobody talked to him. But today, they are now recognizing that he carries something that can change their city. Supposing he had agreed to sit in Jericho, will it make a difference to Jericho? Eh? I want to tell you, some of you are satisfied to sit where your fathers are leaving you and say, stay here. You won't make a difference. You need to move now. And you need to say, Lord, double portion. I'm going to stop now because God is already here. And the way we are going to pray this afternoon, we will pray as the Holy Spirit will move us. Hallelujah. Some of you will need hands to be laid on you. The hands that will be laid on you today is not ordinary. We are going to say, God, kindle the fire. Kindle the fire. I can see some of you, young, 20, 22, 23, sitting down as if you are going to die tomorrow. I can see that. Are you hearing me? I can't understand why you are going to sit down and just be shaking your head. That's not how young people behave. That was not how John Wesley moved. That was not how Charles Spurgeon moved. He started preaching at 19. By 21, he was confronting 5,000 people in his tabernacle where he preaches. And in a few years, 22,000 will gather to listen to him because God was at work. I can't see you sitting down. I can't see you say, well, all I'm just waiting for now is just to get married and settle down. Settle down for what? How can you settle down at 26? How can you settle down? This is the time. I'm telling you, if nothing happens to me at the prime of my life, when will it happen? When will it happen? I kept reminding myself, I said, God, you will use me, but use me now that I'm young. Because I need strength to run around. I need something that will carry me everywhere. And it is my strength under the power of the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray. The cry that we have made our title is, fill us up! Send us out. That's the cry. I am not dealing with send us out this morning. I will deal with that in the night. When we are all gathered, we are going to be saying, Lord, send us out. But for me and you this morning, we are saying, God, double portion. What you don't know is this. There are some of our elders, hallelujah, they have history to fall back to. You don't have any. Do you not know how glorious it is for our elders who say, oh, we remember when the Spirit of God came down to Liverpool. People were repenting every day. They have something to look back to. You don't have any of such. If you should grow old, what will you tell your children? That's why it is critical for me and you. What story will you tell? It's nice that we could sit down with Brother Norman. We could sit down with our elders. And they say, oh, when the Spirit came, oh, I moved like this. Oh, we sold everything. Oh, we believe God for this building. Oh, we believe God for that. What have you believed God for in your own lifetime? Did you not ask? Go and ask Norman. Say, when were these things happening to you? He was a young man. He hadn't met Jenny when God began to walk with him. Am I correct? Jenny also was a young lady who was beginning to experience God in her own time. Now they are in their 70s. We thank God that they have histories to tell us. You don't have any yet. How can you go on without something? What will you give your children? What will you tell them? Where's your excitement? Oh, when we went out somewhere, the Spirit of God moved. We saw. In fact, we saw a drug addict just came under conviction of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You don't have that story yet. How can you settle down? That's why I challenge you this morning. Even if you don't want, I need it. I have gone a little ahead of you, but I still need it. I can't imagine that God will drop me at this point and say, Gwile, you have tried. No. What will I do with the rest of my years? Will I be going around telling stories? I need something fresh. Double portion. Are you here to join me in prayer? Fill me, Lord. And I will not be satisfied unless you release your power upon me. Let's pray. You may want to stand up. You may want to sit down. Whatever you want to do. Sorry, the ground is wet. But anyhow, let's pray. Stand on your feet. Cry out to the Lord. And this kind of cry is a conscientious prayer. All of them lifted up their voices at the same time. And they said, Lord, send down the power. Look at the threat. Look at their threat. Look at the threat. Look at the threat of our society. Look at the threat of our people. Look at the threat of government. Look at the threat of the gay movement. Look at their threat. Lord, we need something. I need something from you. I need your power. I need your power. I need your power. Send down your power. Holy Spirit, karuko shende yereboskuria. Rusi baba yanda kasando roboshinda baba baba. Rekusata yakando roboshiria. Oh God, baba baba baba. Rekushakanda rubo sende rebosunda baba baba. Somebody is standing amidst this moment and say, God, I'm too young to be a waste. I'm too young to be this weak. I'm too weak. I'm too weak, oh God. I am too weak and I'm too strong. I'm too young to be so weak. Do something in my heart. Do something in my life. Pour the fire. Pour the fire. Pour the fire. Pour the fire. The fire that moved our fathers. And they went on the mission field without looking back. Fire. That so worked in these areas that even after years, we still see it standing. Lord, send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. It's for the fire we plead. It's for the fire we plead. Ba 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 shandorobus. Rekus kamba ba 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 ba. Mosoko yoko torobos kanda yabakuria. Fill us up, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. You said those who hunger and thirst, they should come to you and drink out of their belly, shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Yekoko sanda baba. Ooh. Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ma. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. More good. Yes, Lord. Yes. Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Bakutaka Samurosh. Rika Bokusuria. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Yekarobuskanaba. Yes, let it become fire. Let it break forth. Let it break forth. Let it break forth. Let it break forth this morning. Let it break forth this morning. Let it break forth this morning. Horokoshanda baba. Huriboska baba. Tankushkiba. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Too young to be weak. Too young, oh Lord, to be weak. I'm too young, Lord, to be weak. Samba kandorobo shiria. Now, we're praying, but look at this. I want some of our elders to come. Thank you for coming, Brother Les. We want you to please come here. And Charles, we want you to join us here. And Joyce, please come. And Mickey, please come. We want to ask God for help. Paul said to Timothy, he said, do not neglect the gift of God that is in you by the laying of the hands of the elders. Some of you, hands need to be laid on you to set you on fire. Are you getting that? Some of you, there is something in you is like a spark, but it needs to be blown to become a flame. And as hands are going to be laid on you this afternoon, there's going to be an impartation of the grace of God. There's an impartation that must be released unto you. And we're asking a double portion. One of the critical things we are discovering is that ministries, deep ministry, teaching ministry, prophetic ministries is becoming very scarce. There are more singing, but when it comes to exposition of the word of God, we don't have much. And some of you have enjoyed what Les had been doing over this time. And we need God to release upon us the evangelistic anointing. The kind that was in Judge Whitfield, that made them go everywhere. It was an anointing on their lives. And God has ordained that by the laying on of hands of elders, God can pass through people's hands and just tear up your spirit for something serious. So we're going to do that this moment. We're going to do that, but only for those who are crying and say, I need double portion. I need double portion. I need something serious. I can't go from here. I'm too young to be weak. I'm too young not to have anything serious in my life. I have no history. And if I have no future, what do I want to do? If you are an old man, you should have history to look back to. But you have no history and you don't have a future. How can we keep on going like that? Lord, do something. Do something. So we're going to be praying. All those who are seeking and say, God, I can't go from here unless you do something new in my life. You will walk out towards the altar. There's no big altar here, but just for hands to be laid on you. Just for brethren, elders, people that God had been working with over the years. Just to have a chance to lay hands on your life and say, God, do something new. Do something eternal with these lives. Oh, God. Oh, God. Sister Shade, please join us. Ian, can you join us? Please come. I want all those who can lay hands today, please come and help us. We need help from God today. Riko somborobo shindaba. while hands are being laid on you, you just go on praying. Just go on, just go on. God may be releasing you into a new gifting. Don't be afraid to step into it. Some of you may fall into a trance as the Spirit of God is come on your life, showing you great things that you've never seen before. Don't stop Him. Some of you may burst into a tongue that you have never spoken before. Allow Him. It may not look like what you know. Just release your spirit. Let God have His way today. Let Him start something. A fire that will not be quenched. A fire that will not be quenched. You just go ahead. Just go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.